Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades, from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We got great stuff on all of those platforms. I love Media Day. I love the way that we cover Media Day over at Denver Stiffs. It's, people don't know this. Media Day is a whirlwind. It is like being thrown into like a stampede and having to sort through a bunch of different things that are happening. There's interviews being going on at the same time. There's three or four guys talking, and you kind of have to pick which guys you're going to go to. In our case, you know, we had actually had four people at the arena today, with Chad Andrews stepping in to help out myself, Brendan Vogt, and Zach Mikash. So we had four people there, so we can kind of sort of divide and conquer, which is great. But it's one of those things where I didn't actually see all of the interviews from today until this afternoon when I got back to my house and was able to sort through all of the footage and audio and articles that our staff had put together. So it's a whirlwind, but and that's why I think Denver Stiffs, I'm just so proud of our group and the way that we were able to handle it, because there's so much going on and we want to cover everything. We don't want to, I think most people have to pick the two or three storylines they're going to try to, you know, cover through that day because so much is happening. But this is such a fun day for fans, and it's a fun day for us, that I was really glad that we were able to get so much done. I want to, with this episode of the show, this sort of kicks off season three of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, which is kind of a big, you know, obviously a big moment, turning of the page. I don't know that, you know, people really think of it in terms of seasons, but today, kicking off a brand new season, this podcast started at the very start of training camp two seasons ago, so it's kind of cool to see how it's grown and evolved over the years. But I want to go through this one and just go through Media Day and talk about the different people that spoke and sort of the big takeaways that I got. And I want to start with Michael Malone, the first to speak every year. He shared the podium with Tim Conley, and I think it's appropriate that the two shared the podium today, because I think one of the things I really took away from today was just how unified the entire organization seemed to be. There was a lot of, and I know Media Day is a day where everything is you know, everything is great. Everybody's optimistic. Everybody's in the best shape of their life, and all of these cliches and platitudes. But I think with the Denver Nuggets, there was genuinely a feeling of the team sort of liking each other. They're the opposite of the Timberwolves. I mean, everybody was on the same page. Everybody was just seemed excited and seemed like a team that has something brewing, and they know it, and they can't wait to show it. So Michael Malone and Tim Conley shared the podium today, and I thought, you know, that was appropriate. The couple of things that really stuck out to me, he really seemed to hammer home how much he's pushing Gary Harris and Nikola Jokic, and to a lesser extent Jamal Murray, but really Gary Harris and Nikola Jokic, to grow as leaders. And really, you think about these guys and these players, and you know, off season you work on your jump shot, or you work on your handle, what piece do you add to your game, whatever. You know, some of the intangible stuff, the off the court stuff, the leadership stuff, that stuff is just as important, especially for these young guys. And Jokic didn't come in the NBA into the NBA expecting to be a leader. I don't think Gary Harris came into the NBA expecting to be a leader. Both of those guys are sort of reluctant leaders, but here they are, as two of the most important, if not the two most important players on the roster, and thrown into that role of having to be at least some type of leader. Now, you can have your not best player be your leader. It's happened before, even with very, very successful teams. But I think that you have to, those type of guys have to show at least some level of leadership. And I think it's really great, and it was really noteworthy that Malone talked specifically about how both of those guys, he was sort of working with them. That's on the forefront of his mind, is not only the basketball stuff, but hey, you guys really need to start to spread your wings as leaders. He did mention that Trey Lyles might play the three. This was one of those things that kind of went a little bit viral today, because I think it was one of those things that, Basketball Twitter, the basketball Twitter obsessive fan kind of rolls their eyes at the league is obviously getting smaller and faster. So to move a 6'10", not necessarily the most light of, especially on the defensive end, player to the three seems weird. Trey Lyles is a 4, and if anything, maybe he's a 5. He played some 5 last year, and I think the numbers said it was incredible. Playing the 3, you know, a couple of things here. First of all, offensively, there's not a whole lot different between the 3 and the 4, the small forward position and the power forward position in the modern NBA. In fact, in a lot of lineups, there's no difference. They have the exact same role. They're interchangeable in most sets. They're spacing the floor. They're crashing the boards. Where you really see a difference is defensively. And defensively, power forwards, you know, even versatile power forwards like Blake Griffin, for example, are just, they're quick, but they're not so quick that a guy like Trey Lyles can't hang with him. I mean, Trey Lyles is very quick for a power forward player. In fact, he's the guy that sort of out-quicks guys in those types of matchup. At the 3, you're starting to guard more LeBron James, Kevin Durant, even some Jimmy Butlers, you know, players like that who are true outside players, quick first step, good outside shots. And that's where I think, you know, you think about that and, okay, is Trey Lyles at the 3 a good idea? My gut instinct would be, man, that seems really, really crazy. But Malone threw that out there because clearly he'd been thinking about it. And I think Trey Lyles talked about it in his media portion too about, hey, man, I might play some 3 this year. So certainly an interesting development. I wouldn't panic. I saw some people kind of panicking about that. I wouldn't panic just yet. I think the team – and Malone, you know, that small forward position is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tricky one. He wants to find somebody that he can play there behind Will Barton. And I think he loves Torrey Craig, but I think Torrey Craig, he looks at more as he would love to play him at the shooting guard position. So that was noteworthy for sure, but I wouldn't freak out about it too much. And then lastly, one of my big takeaways from this entire day was just how much players were raving about Michael Malone. He was sort of the star or one of the stars today in just that several players, I mean, maybe almost all of them had something to say about coach. And you could just see there was a lot of respect there. And this isn't new. I mean, I've talked about this on the show a lot, but I thought going with that theme of how cohesive the team was, one of the things that really stood out was just how much all of the players had Malone's back, how much they seemed to all enjoy playing for him. And, you know, it's noteworthy because Malone is entering the final year of his contract. If he does not get extended before the season here in the next couple of weeks, he'll be entering the season without a guarantee on his deal. And the players at least seem to all have his back. You know, nobody obviously asked or talked about the contract situation, but it just was kind of neat and really cool to see so many guys talk just so personably about the relationship they have with Malone and how much he meant to them. It certainly stood out quite a bit today. The second star of the day was probably Isaiah Thomas. To be expected. He's, you know, the newcomer, one of the guys everybody was most excited to talk to. He just has a great presence in front of the camera and in front of the microphone. Some players do, some players don't. I thought Jameer Nelson was one of these guys who just understood how to talk to the media in a way that was both, you know, respectful of the media and what they're trying to do, but also direct and sort of controls the conversation. And I think as a reporter, that's the kind of interviewee you really, really like. Somebody that, you know, just kind of gets it and knows how to talk about pull on the threads that you're trying to get them to pull on. And I thought it was great. He held court. He was absolutely holding court and the entire media just kind of sitting there with their microphones out, just soaking up everything he had to say. He was confident. You know, there's a confidence to players, and it's really especially veteran players that have been in the league for a long time. Again, to go back to the media thing, they just kind of have this confidence. Young players and sometimes these standoffish players, Kenneth Faried, I think, was this way. He always was so suspicious of the media, like, oh, they're trying to get me. And he would treat the media with this sort of like disdain because, you know, there just wasn't the respect there. And maybe he was like worried somebody was going to twist his words. Well, Isaiah Thomas had this confidence about him that, you know, he wasn't afraid to speak his mind and tell you what he thought. And, you know, he's no fool. He knows how the media twists people's words and aggregators, you know, get the wrong point. And sometimes reporting becomes a game of telephone where a guy will say one thing and then it gets aggregated three times. And by that third time, it's, you know, the point is completely changed. He knows all that, but he sort of had this like self-confidence to just not care. He's going to say what he's going to say, put it on the record. And it's up to the reader, the writer and the reader and the fan to understand what's what. So I thought it was really cool. He just held court today. And it's cool to see. He said that maybe the most interesting thing he said was that he knows all of the players really, really well because he's a student of the game and a basketball junkie, and the Nuggets were one of the teams that you watch. Let me play that clip for you.
But here, I mean, the last few years, I'm a student of the game. I'm a fan of the game. Denver's been one of the teams you always watch on NBA League Pass because they're that exciting. So that says it for itself. It's a young team. It's exciting. The one thing I said when I signed here, the difference between this team, it seems like they don't just play with each other, they play for each other. They like playing together. I'm a fan of the game, so I study the game. I know all these players maybe better than they know themselves. So it's a talented group, though. I'm not going to say I knew we were this talented watching them play 5-on-5 and open gym every day. But we can be really good if we put the work in, if we can become very consistent and take the game serious.
It's a great quote, and it gets you excited for Isaiah Thomas, because I think there's a lot of basketball junkies on this Nuggets roster. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that just truly love the game, and he's clearly one of them. And I think he's going to fit in with some guys because of that. You know, Will Barton, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, these guys are gym rats. These guys like basketball. They like the competitiveness of it. So I think in that regard, he knew that going in, and that's part of why he chose. And I think that's what's firing him up. But the number one reason he chose Denver was because of Michael Malone. And I think this was, again, coming back to the point in the last section, you know, it's such a big thing because Will Barton had a similar quote. Isaiah Thomas talked about how in Sacramento, there was a lot of people saying they wanted him to learn how to run the point guard and saying, hey, we need you to be John Stockton. We need you to get everybody involved. And Isaiah Thomas kind of laughed and was like, yo, I never watched John Stockton. I don't know anything about him. I only know on YouTube. All I know how to be is Isaiah Thomas. And he said Malone sat him down one time and said, hey, forget all those other people. Forget everything. I just want you to be Isaiah Thomas, and I'll figure out how to use you. Don't try to change your game to fit somebody else. Will Barton has said similar things. And look, I mean, like I said, Malone was the star of Media Day, I think, today. And Isaiah Thomas, there's no question about it. He chose Denver because of that relationship with Michael Malone. Moving on to Paul Millsap, it was great talking to him. You could tell he's chomping at the bit to get back, I think, and get back to playing. Last year, such a fragmented year, I imagine it was a bit of a different offseason for him. He said that about 2 months ago is when he felt 100%. That was the first time he took his wrist bandages off. You know, he'd been wrapping his wrist when he played as protection. He said it was probably he could have done a little bit sooner, but it's mental at that point, and there was still that mental hurdle. But he said that now but for the last 2 months he's been good. He even demonstrated the mobility in the wrist. He said last year, if you kind of take your palm and you make it flat, you know, even parallel to your arm, and then if you flex it, you can make it 90 degrees to your wrist, basically. Well, he was saying last year he couldn't do that. He could only move it to about the flat position. He couldn't bend it to make that 90 degree like you can. Well, today he demonstrated for all of us that he can make that, and just what a difference it was. He said that he's actually palming the ball with his left hand better than he ever had before, better than he can with his right hand, which is kind of hard to believe. I'm not an NBA athlete by any means, but I can palm the ball with my right hand. I'm not even close with my left hand. I can't even imagine being better. Even with an injury and rehabbing and doing all the wrist strength stuff, I can't imagine ever being better at that with your offhand. But he says that he is. And then another interesting thing that he had to say was, you know, somebody asked him if this Nuggets team can be a gritty defensive team. And he's thought about it for a while. Look, I've been covering this league for long enough to know that 99% of the time people will just say yes in that situation, even if they don't believe it. And you can kind of read between the lines. But he said no. He kind of thought about it for a second. I think he knew right away, but he was thinking, should I answer honestly or not? And he goes, you know what? No, we can be a positioning team. And he said, you know, my team in Atlanta, we won 60 games. We were a top five defense in the NBA, and we were a positioning team, not a gritty team. So I thought that was interesting, and I think he's right. I don't know that Denver has a bunch of rough and tumble type guys. They've got a couple. They got a few. They got a few guys I would describe as gritty. But I think as a whole, their team identity is not a gritty one. But they can be. They're a smart team. They're a finesse team, and they're a smart team. And I think they can beat you defensively with their mind, and just with sort of their technique. And that's where I think they stand to make the most improvement. So really great insight, I thought, by Paul Millsap. Going to get on to a couple of more players, including Nikola Jokic. But before we do, I want to tell you about Vivid Seats, new podcast partner. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on the Denver Nuggets. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section or row of your choice. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for customers to receive $20 off of orders of $200 or more. All you need to do is go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off or $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and you won't be disappointed. So check that out. Brand new partner, going to be partnering with us for a while. Now back to the show. Nikola Jokic, great as always. He seemed genuinely happy that Gary Harris went to see him in his home country of Serbia. I think that really made him proud. He talked about how impressed he was with Gary because Gary would try everything in Serbia. He wasn't, you know, he didn't just go there and then go to his hotel room. He said Gary wanted to get out and explore, and he said he did a lot of things, and he said he just made it sound like it was really, really cool. So we got the great story that Michael Malone rode one of Jokic's horses. He sat in the harness and rode around the track a couple of times with a Dreamcatcher, and it sounds like that was kind of a hilarious scene. But it was good to see Jokic. You know, I've seen some people say he doesn't look great. In person, I thought Jokic looked really good. He's not a very photogenic guy, and he's not a ripped dude by any means, but I thought in person he looked very, very good. He said this was the hardest he's ever trained in his life, and especially the hardest he's ever run. So it sounds like his lungs are in great shape. The team, Malone did talk in his presser about how the team spent a lot of time working on technique, his footwork, defensively. So not so much necessarily, like, you know, you think about it with Jokic, he does get out on an island a lot, and his footwork can be really bad. He crosses his legs a lot defensively when he's sliding them. So I'm actually really excited about that development, because me personally, I think, again, I don't think Jokic can be a gritty defender. I don't think he can be a rim-protecting athletic dude, but I think he can become an elite guy with his positioning if he wants to, and so putting in that work this offseason, I think, is a good sign. Gary Harris talked about working to become a leader. We have some great quotes. You got to check out denverstiffs.com, especially for this media day, because we have the video footage. You can actually see them talking. But he had some great quotes about becoming a leader and how it's becoming easier for him, how he's just a quiet guy by nature and he grew up that way, but now he's learning that, you know, how to be vocal and just becoming more comfortable with it. And he was just very candid about that. I thought it was great. And he's grown so much with how he talks to the media too. He's a good example of a guy who, you know, rookie sophomore year, it was like pulling teeth to get him to say anything to the media. You interview him after a game and one word answers. You could tell he was uncomfortable and then also just didn't have sort of that understanding of the relationship between player and media. Well, he's really grown in that regard and relaxed, gives great full answers, and you know, that relationship, I think, that's how you know a player's becoming a star, is when they're forced to talk to the media so much and then they become better at it. It was really cool to see just the growth in Gary as, you know,
growing as an older guy, as a better player, and then now as a leader. It's just really, really cool to see right before our eyes. And then he really did genuinely seem to, as much as Jokic enjoyed to have him, he seemed to genuinely enjoy his trip to Serbia. And he talked about all the fans. People would recognize him in the street, which he thought no way they would, but they did. And I thought that was just too cool. Michael Porter Jr., also a guy that I think Nuggets fans were most excited to hear from today and get some updates. Sadly, no update on, you know, an exact time frame. And I've been telling people this. People have been mad at me with you know, how I've been covering this. But I just said, look, this is the type of thing that I don't think we're going to get answers to. I still would be surprised if he played this season, but even if he does, and I think there's at least a chance, I don't think it's impossible, but if he does play, I think it'll be like Paul Millsap last year where, you know, we won't know until maybe at earliest a week before. Maybe they'll be, oh, he's getting closer or whatever, but I think the team will keep this very, very much under wraps. But I'll say this, I've worried since this summer that there could be some issues with Michael Porter Jr. wanting to play and maybe the Nuggets training staff not wanting him to play and saying, hey, we're going to take it slow. I thought maybe, you know, it was just a thing that was a possibility that there could be a split there, because I know how much Michael Porter Jr. wants to play, and he just had seemed so eager to be on the court and be back that and Denver's stance of wanting to take everything very slow and not rush things, I think, is the right one. But that's hard for a guy. Well, I thought today Michael Porter, I thought, seemed a lot more at peace with his timetable, the long extended timetable that he's probably facing on his road to recovery. And I think that's a good thing. He seemed to really be impressed with the Nuggets training staff. You know, the difference between NCAA and NBA in that regard is just insane, because, you know, he's got a bunch of people. I've heard this from several players that when you get to the NBA, you're not doing team workouts anymore. They have personalized workouts for every single player type, and they learn your body type, they learn your goals and what you need to do, and they come up with a plan for you specifically. Well, he talked about that with his rehab. You know, I think his rehab is on a whole other level from what it was at the University of Missouri, because the resources are so much greater, and you know, the doctors are just better, and you know, there's just a plan in place. So he seemed to me like a guy who had really bought in to where he's at. And I know he's eager to get back on the court. I know he'll be there at the earliest possible moment he can. But I think he seemed a little bit more at peace with the process ahead. Monte Morris was great. I know not a big name, but he's going to be a big name, because I have a feeling the Nuggets will start the season with him as the backup point guard. I'm a Monte Morris fan. I got to say, I believe in the guy. I love his game. I love the way he plays the game. And I really love the way he just talks. He's just such an insightful guy. And, you know, he's another guy where you can just tell he gets the relationship he has between all of his different players, you know, all of his teammates. And he had some great answer. I mean, got to go again, go to denverstiffs.com, find the Monte Morris page, you know, article that was written in the story stream for Media Day, and check out the interview with him, because he talks about how he never knew Gary Harris. You know, he comes into the league last year as a rookie. Gary Harris is making $60 million, and, you know, everything's great. He doesn't remember that Gary Harris came into the league and actually struggled for a while, and he talked very openly about that. So we talked about how Gary, you know, would pull him in last year and say, hey, look, man, I went through this too. And, you know, here's what I did to overcome it here, you know, and that he would lean on Gary for a lot of advice in that regard. And it's just kind of cool. It shows you some behind the scenes of Gary's leadership development. And it just was really, really cool to see. He says he hangs with Gary Harris more than anyone else on the team. They play video games a lot. And then he talked about Isaiah Thomas' advice to him, and absolutely, again, shows you sort of the value of a player like IT. Let's take a listen to this clip.
That it go fast. Honestly, he just said, don't let a day go past or you haven't got in work, you know, off days, you know, come in still and, you know, get repetitions. They ain't gotta be nothing crazy. It can be 50%, but just always do something, because you don't want chances like this to go by with you having regrets.
Jamal Murray says that he has gained about 15 pounds. He looked bigger. He definitely looked like he had added some weight to him. Good pounds. I was surprised by this. I wouldn't have guessed, you know, same with Monte. They both put on some weight, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out. That's going to be really, really interesting. The training staff and strength and conditioning staff knows way better than I do about all these things. And Jamal said that he felt great. Go into the basket, just feel stronger, is able to take some contact. So that was certainly a very interesting note from him. He also said that he thinks he can take Mark Price in a free throw shooting contest. And I got to say, I think I have Mark Price. I think I have Mark Price in this one. Few guys could challenge Murray. It's going to be close. I think Mark Price, a career 90% free throw shooter, Jamal Murray, like 89%. So they're right there. But it's kind of nice. It gives Jamal, you know, something to sort of chase, which I think Jamal's one of those guys who, he thrives when he's got someone to chase. Trey Lyles, another guy that was a standout. You know, I'd heard for a couple weeks now that he was a guy who's really stood out in some of these workouts and in some of these scrimmages, and a lot of people sort of picking him to be the breakout player this year. He looked great. The reports were I would say accurate. He looked very strong, fit, but also slender. And you know, it seems like he is a guy that is itching for an opportunity to sort of prove himself this year. Some quick hitters here. Torrey Craig said he worked on his three-point shot a lot this offseason, said he's feeling very confident with it. Mason Plumlee seemed the least interested in media day. I mean, he's been around, so he kind of knows the drill, but he's been around the league. He sounds like he spent the least amount of time sort of with the team this offseason, so take that for whatever it's worth and whatever it's not worth. Juancho Hernangómez also seemed a little bit you know, he seemed slightly maybe less excited than some of the other people in the group today, but I only talked to him for maybe 2-3 minutes. Tyler Lydon says that his night and day how he felt at Summer League compared to how he feels right now. So he really seems confident and really seems like he's ready for the season and ready to try to break into the rotation somewhere or other. And then Jared Vanderbilt, looking very, very buff, at least his upper body, looking very, very buff. He's a guy that has spent a lot of time, I hear, in the weight room and has sort of been a weight room warrior these last couple of weeks. So he might be one of those guys. Jared Vanderbilt crosses me as one of those guys that might be addicted to the weight room, which is great for the Nuggets. I think that's a good addiction to have. Michael Porter Jr. also, by the way, him and Jared Vanderbilt, I think it's very fortuitous for Denver that they were able to land both of them, because both of those two guys are they're friends. They grew up in the AAU circuit. They were both top prospects. And Michael Porter Jr., I asked him about Jared Vanderbilt today. What do fans need to know about him? And he said he's a top 10 player in this draft class if he's not hurt. And he said he compares him to Ben Simmons. Actually, he plays a similar style. He's like, you guys don't understand. This guy's a point guard. He could play the point guard if he wanted. I'm just so high on Jared Vanderbilt and on Michael Porter Jr. I think it's really cool. You know, you look at Denver and you look at what's missing. Well, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, those guys are shoe-ins for the future. Michael Porter Jr., Jared Vanderbilt, it breaks right. Those two guys, that completes your starting lineup, and heck, that could be a heck of a starting lineup if everything works out well. All in all, a successful Denver Nuggets media day and an exciting kickoff to the season. There's so much to be excited about, and some of the stuff is delayed, like Isaiah Thomas, Michael Porter Jr., Jared Vanderbilt. Those guys, I think, are, I'm very excited for them, but my excitement will have to wait. But you know, everybody else, Nikola Jokic, Paul Millsap just seems so eager to get back on the court. Michael Malone, everybody just seemed, you know, there's energy. It was a good offseason of rejuvenation, and I think the team is in a really good place to open up training camp. So I hope you guys are as excited as I am and as excited as they are for this upcoming season. Thank you so much to everybody that recently left ratings and reviews. We are on iTunes. We are almost all the way up to 200 reviews. I think I'm at 199. Appreciate every single one of you. And as we kick off this season, let your Nuggets fans know about DenverStiffs.com and also about the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Share with them this show, help grow the show, and let's continue to make this a fun place to discuss the Denver Nuggets and to sort of analyze every little detail of the team and organization. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back all week with brand new episodes.
The Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.